Good afternoon, everyone. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. What on earth does that mean? It means that we're all learning to move energy through our body, mind, unhook denser frequencies so we can be consciously choosing to be the kind of light vehicle we want to be on the planet. We are vehicles of light. Oh, what an amazing job. However, we've managed to gather through the years a lot of densifying information from reactions, from past lives, from karmic doodah, from heaven only knows what our soul sources, whether you came from the Pleiades or Sirius or Arcturus, or you were some kind of centaur way back in the strange Orion-infused days and so on. We don't know, but each of us has an absolute backlog of stuff that we came with. And our job, a lot of us are trying to move out of it so that we can be the unlimited energy beings that we somehow know we can be. Guides and angels have been popping through probably always since the history of man began, but they're popping through a lot lately to teach a lot of us to connect to our higher selves, to connect to our unlimited selves, so that we can move out of this human collective, this sludge that we keep breathing in and recreating over and over, a life of fear, a life of greed, so that we don't lose, a life of competition, a life of failures, and so on. Instead of that, we're trying to move into a full-bore consciousness of co-creating our life with spirit, with higher frequency energies, and our own abilities to really work on creating our reality so that you're doing it as close to 100% as you can. Of course, we call it co-creation because some of it's got to be done by the greater. Doing that is really hard work if you're not clear, if you're still carrying around denser frequencies and you've got reactions from, say, the lineage, your parents, the genetic forebears that led to your birth and so on. If you're still carrying all that around, you're probably living a life of reaction, self-aggrandizing, power, jealousy, and so on. So I decided today, I was trying to think about what we should talk about this week. And I decided to go back into energy and what energy really means. And I started my preamble explaining why I call this Radiance by Design. It's because we radiate out all kinds of thoughts and feelings. We radiate out the colors, the frequencies, the charges that we have absorbed and we've integrated into our being, whether it was of lineage, cellular energy, other people's energy, and so on. And in that radiance, there's a huge collective. But if we radiate consciously, we can radiate up higher and past the collective. And it's a big job to do that. Some of us have to do it inch by inch. Some people seem to get a good whack over the head with a 2x4, and then all of a sudden they're very radiant. They've come here to really charge us up, I guess. So a lot of my work, my name is Veronica Entwistle. I work with a wonderful, wonderful consortium of guides and angels. They call themselves a coalescence. They're all kinds of beings of light and consciousness. Some of them are lower, meaning they can be relatives or human beings on the other side that are really participating in what we're calling a great shift these days, headed toward 2012 and what I hear 2024 and so on. Woo! So where was I going with all that? As I'm saying to you that as we learn to shift, then we create more and more of our reality, and as we create more and more of our reality, then time and space have a whole different rapport, don't they? And as you create your reality more and more, you begin to design your future, and it happens faster and faster. So I don't really believe in my work that I should be giving a whole lot of predictions. And the reason for that is a really good reason is if I can predict something for you, you're going to meet Prince Charming next week. That means that things are kind of written in stone and that to me anyway, it means that we can't really create our reality because it's already pre-decided. But I can certainly tell you where things are headed at this point from the radiances that you're putting out. From thoughts, feelings, intentions, and attitudes, resistances, and jealousies, and so on, that you're just actually radiating out there, I can tell you where you're headed. So somebody will say, oh golly, yeah, I've been told that I'm going to be extremely famous. and you look inside of them and you see that that is a huge potential. There's this beautiful light. But you see that this person is really resistant to maybe letting go of power or control, or simply being afraid at some level and not wanting to admit it and so on. And you see that there's a contraction deep within their intestinal tract is what I'm seeing right now with this mythical person I'm talking about. And there, the prediction, which could be true, that I'm going to be famous, or someone is, becomes an untruth, because the person is holding back, concealing themselves, not revealing what it is they're supposed to do, or simply sitting upon and not doing some kind of learning or the refinement of some tool that they're trying to make. It's really an interesting time on our planet. So I don't believe predictions should hold, but I do believe this, is with my guides and angels, I've learned a wonderful system of energy and energy healing. And when we work with individuals and we look at what you're trying to deal with and who you're trying to deal with and what dreams you have that are not necessarily coming true yet and what desires you have that you seem to be holding against, I know this, that with the guides and with higher consciousness, we can actually go in through our energy patterns and through our bodies and find out where the blocks are, where the resistances are, where the unbeliefs are, where the shame is, where the jealousies are, where the contractions are that prevent you from creating or co-creating those affirmations and dreams that you wish to do. It's like we all talk about The Secret. The Secret was wonderful, but they didn't talk about emotion. And we really wanted to learn how to get to the core. Here's an example. I was talking to a woman who actually is quite famous the other day, and she was having a physical problem. And now, when I was looking at this woman's energy, I thought, it's funny, the last two times I've spoken to her, I know that she's really angry. Not at me, I don't think. But anyway, when we were going through her body and some of the difficulties that she's personally going through, there was this knot in the liver. And when I watched it, it was really amazing. The guides just sort of zero in, and they go into the person's body and really look into this spot that was really, really intense in her liver. And she might even be feeling this right now. I know she's not listening, but she can probably feel this. Anyway, as they go right in there, it's like a core sample. And I say that because the guide said that this tension and this condensed, intense holding pattern that's in her liver is almost like a pattern. It's if you took all of her lifetimes as a human being on this planet and you took a skewer and you just poked it right through, or like a, you know, one of those things that people that used to jam all their papers on, a needle-like thing sticking up on the desk, you put all these papers on. This person has had a liver intensity like that most of her lives on the planet. And they say it's the liver that she has had as a, now, and one way to look at it is that it's a pivotal issue, meaning where she's held her liver densely has been a point of learning. It's probably been a point of her death in a number of lifetimes. It's a point of learning and growth in this lifetime and in other lifetimes. It's also an area in which she expresses kind of a cynicism and a frustration about human systems. For this person is kind of regally aligned inside, someone who really probably should be in on the higher echelons of certain organizations like royalty, not in this lifetime, but it's in her essence. And seeing what weaknesses predominate or prevail in these different systems is really hard for her. It's just made her very resentful about human systems and wanting always to push to a much greater perspective about it. So watching her, it's the first time I've actually seen that if you look into, I've actually seen that here in this example, is a physical tension which is creating problems for her at this moment is actually something that's been alive in her as long as her body has been, not her body, but her selfness, her spirit, has actually been embodied on this planet. It's amazing to me. I've never seen it quite like that. So that's a, you actually have to say to yourself, wow, Is that ever a core issue? So my job as a, my job, should I choose to accept it, is to help by seeing into people and getting the click between what's going on in their physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual lives that has a lot to do with transforming that learning curve of their soul and spirit in this lifetime or other lifetimes or many lifetimes. Again, helping us all prepare for a life in which we can truly co-create our reality for the sake of the collective as well as for the sake of ourselves, healing our lineage, healing some of the huge drives that have kept humans limited for whatever reason. I don't think I'm going to go through that this time, but there are a lot of pieces of information that we have been held in place because we're a, I'll just do a little bit, I guess. We're kind of an experiment of the Pleiadians, and they're apparently our forefathers, and they kept us limited genetically and biochemically for some very good reasons, so I hear. Those reasons are to give us a regular lifespan so that we don't live too long and use up all our resources. And also because part of the deal for human beings is that we want to cover or recover our ability to use our free will to create a life beyond that which is limited by external. So that means that we can actually recreate ourselves. And I think we're coming to a point where we're really doing that. It's very exciting. So I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. I love to work with you. I like to start this show. I've started with quite a preamble so far. But I like to start this show with an energy exercise so that we can all, and I love to have callers, and I'm going to get you in just a minute, so that we can all clear the space around us and start fresh. Because again, I remind everybody that we do live in a collective, and in that collective, we don't think for ourselves very well. So you're on the air. Good afternoon. You beat me to the punch here.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
I just find it very interesting about the whole past life. And like you're saying that we, how can I put this? I thought about this, like as you were talking about like past life and that we're always like trying to work on stuff. That if it hasn't been worked out in one of the lives, then our next life, we're still trying to work it out, correct?
That's right. It's amazing, okay. Isn't it?
Yeah. So apparently, I'm trying to work out on not having any money. What is up with that? I just can't imagine. Because everything else is going great, but then the money. So then... is it some kind of like, I don't know, like how can you figure out like what it is that you're supposed to be working on?
Let's have some fun here, and it's not just fun, but let's have some fun, everybody at home. We're going to work on our money today.
Okay.
And again, like everything else, we're computers in a way. We function a bit like computers, okay? So this person whose liver I was talking about, that
yeah.
liver situation has driven her evolution for a long time. So you could say it's driving her evolution. Now, what you've got in you, we're looking in. I'm just taking a look. And I want you, wrap yourself in light, please.
Okay.
Everybody wrap yourself in light because this young lady's, what's your name?
Beth.
Oh, hi, Beth.
Hi.
Everybody wrap yourself in light because we don't want you to take on Beth's stuff. We want you to take on your own stuff. So if we wrap ourselves in light, and let's ask to feel in our body all the energy, let me see, just call up all the energy that comes from your attitude to money, to having money, to creating money, to having money roll to your body, to your fingers. Now tell me where it is in your body.
It feels like it's in my gut.
Okay. And did you start getting sweaty?
I did a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's really interesting. Okay, so one more time, everybody at home, exaggerate where it is you hold your issues of money inside your body-mind. And it might not be inside either. There's quite a bit of sweating. And I'm sweating as well. Now I want you to ask yourself for any of the feelings that come with it. What does it feel? What's the feeling? Is it fear of money? Is it enjoyment? I'll tell you something, Beth. You got something also going on in your heart around it. Do you see that?
My heart, possibly.
You don't have to agree with me, but I'm always right. No, I'm teasing.
I know you are.
Now, the thing that I'm seeing here is with Beth, I'm trying to separate my own energy from hers, which can be tricky in this business. But there's a whole feeling. When I asked you about the feelings, there's a gap in your belly, and then this funny little feeling of disdain, pushing. Did you feel anything like that, some sort of weird disdain for yourself?
Yeah. It was like that, and then less like anxiety or something.
Okay.
With money.
And let me ask you if you're worth it.
Am I worth the money?
Mm-hmm. Is it worth it? Okay.
Is it worth to feel that?
Is it worth it for you to have money? Do people think you're worth it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so people think you're valuable.
Yeah.
But part of you holds way back when I say that. So people think you're valuable, and a whole part of you just caved in and went away from
it. I know. Well, that's because, I never asked them, do you think I'm worthy of money or whatever? It just,
No, but you know what's really interesting? When you ask yourself, and for people at home as well, when you ask yourself these goofy questions, and they are goofy, do people think I'm valuable or do people think I'm worthy of receiving money? You're going to find a kind of deep feeling and belief in yourself. You don't have to take a survey. You don't have to lay yourself open to other people. And there's a part of you that shrunk right away from that feeling and that question. Now, I know that could be because of the nature of the question, so we'll just jump around a little bit. Do you think, do you feel like you are sacrificing something?
Sacrificing something?
Yeah, are you in a state of sacrifice and that's why you don't have money? Just ask your body, don't think. Don't
okay.
think.
Okay, I won't think.
Yeah. Thinking sometimes is the worst thing we can do about things.
Wow, I just got really sweaty. Oh, my God, I'm burning up right now.
Okay, good. So something to do, because the guides are showing me this. That you've got something about sacrificing in your system. So people at home, I don't know what you've got, but in this case, for example, it doesn't mean something simple. It means that somewhere deep down, Beth is subconsciously making the sacrifice of not having money. You see?
You know, there's a part of me that feels like, because I'm an artist, that I don't want to have to get a full-time job, but I have to in order to get money.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is a sacrifice.
Okay. I want to ask you about also, do you think God has money?
Yeah. Well, yeah. God doesn't need money, though, really.
But something in you, okay, just ask it again. Do you think God has money?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's... You have huge hesitance there. You know that?
I'm a huge what?
Hesitant.
I'm a huge hesitant?
No, it's really cute because this time when I asked you that, I felt like you'd say no. and the reason would be, this is how I saw your energy, okay, is that... because he's above money.
Yeah.
He, she, it, okay, is above money. And there's this kind of really weird tension in you about what money really means. Do you feel that?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get with the really weird tension. And I wish there were five or six of you I could ask, because I know it's so interesting what's going on out there. So let's ask yourself again, is that, can you be, you're very spiritual, Beth. I don't know if you know that. So,
yeah.
And to me, that just means that there's a deep search in you about what things are very, what's very valuable. So can you be a good artist, and can you be really spiritual, and can you have lots of income, lots of money coming to you? Can you do all those three things together?
I really believe I can.
Okay. That looks pretty good.
I'm going for that. That's what I want. But I feel like, because I don't have money now, and I don't have the acting jobs and stuff, that I feel like there's a part of me that's fighting off the panic attacks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like to start feeling doubtful and not have faith. And I'm working on that. Like, I'm really trying to work on that.
Well, you know what we want you to do? We'll go back to what the energy stuff is all about. And let's go back to the first questions, which are, I can't remember what they were. Does God have money? What's the deep feeling that you have around money, about having money? I want you to pull those things up, because literally when you're working with energy, you can pull that stuff up, dance around the room with it, look at it, act it out, perform it. You're a performer. Perform it out and hand it to your angels. Get that stuff pulled out of there, because that's the stuff that literally holds back your affirmations. Because there's something in you that is very, very sweet, very confused, very sincere about not really thinking money's a good idea. You see? And there's a judgment on yourself about money. Almost like I'd say to you, Beth, if you had a whole bunch of money, you'd probably give yourself a whole lecture. And I'm saying to you, that's not your logical, evolved self. That's an old program, probably from life. I see several lifetimes, not one or two, but a number of lifetimes, in which somewhere, even one of them in which you had high status in I think it's Germany, you had very high status in the community, and you never had to touch money, and money would not have been in your hands because you were way above that. You know, so you have these spiritual lives in which you disdained it and the fruits of the third dimension, but you also have lives where you were above that. And now there's this really interesting, sweet spiritual nature in there, and you've got kind of a fierce nature as well. I think you know that. And the guides want you to pick like weeds, pull out of your belly some really strange reactions to money, which are like, I want to be above it. I want to feel that disdain for myself for even wanting money. I want to feel it. I want to bring it up. I want to pull it out, and I want to hand it to God because it's not necessary anymore. It's not today. It's some old thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and as you're saying, though, it's kind of scary.
It's very scary, but you know what? The reason it's scary is because of the deep subconscious belief structure. But the actual truth of it is, it's let the scary feelings come up and throw them out and let your angels take them. Because if you can become conscious of this stuff, you're going to shift things around. You've got a job coming up, which I know you're not really wanting, except it's a very good job. And from there, you look like you really leap into your creative again, almost like you need a break.
A break from the creativity?
Not just from the creativity, but from the way you've been living. And the guides are saying this, that if you could pull up some of those deeper programs, and it looks like you have a job kind of coming to you, actually. It looks like it doesn't last forever, but it gets you financially on your feet and also introduces you to a few people, and it's going to make your next leap into the creative world much more lucrative. But it'll be mostly lucrative if you can clear out what's in the belly.
I really want to do that.
And don't be afraid. I mean, you could be afraid because that's the real feeling in the belly. So be afraid, but pull up the fear and hand it over. But you don't need to be afraid of exploring some of these yucky things, because you've got some really amazing paradoxical feelings around it. And you're going to laugh your head off. I'll bet you'll do some kind of thing on it later, something creative.
Yeah,
you
know?
I hope
so. You want to? Why not?
Also, you got lots of good light in your red chakra. You've also got a lot of purple and blue light in your red chakra, which tells me that you have a lot of very spiritual and high consciousness around your interpretation of money and how to use it.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing.
No, I know. Yeah. It's interesting that you're saying on this, because it's seriously, like, this is what I'm going through, of like trying to be above the money and not have panic attacks and get away from my old habits and my old thought patterns, because they just were not healthy.
You know what? Most of us are run by subconscious programming, which you can't ever call healthy because it's leftover. Right?
Interesting. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's just leftover stuff. So if you can pull it out and keep a sense of humor and perform some of it, and then call us in a few weeks and tell us how you're doing.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks for your call. It was very brave, and thank you for putting your second chakra out for us to work on.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, that was really interesting to me because there was a lot of really intense feeling energy in that. It was very powerful. So let's take a minute and do some structures. And in the structures are energy systems designed to create space around us, as I said before, to protect us from simply empathizing with and living in the collective all the time. They're a great place to do your meditation, your healing work, your futurizing, your visualization. And they're fun and they're really beautiful. So let's everybody take a couple of deep breaths. Excuse me. Must be working my throat chakra after working with Beth. That's where we transform and our voices are full of wise, wise words then, aren't they? All right, so now above your head, perhaps 2 miles, a golden ball. And below your spine, perhaps 40 feet, a golden ball. And draw a filament of light, very electrical, through your spine. And if you'll just wait for a few minutes, then I'll take you as soon as we've done this structure. And you'll just be radiant by then anyway. Now we've got a filament of light running through from the upper golden ball through our spine into the lower golden ball. And now around the waist, a series of golden balls, perhaps 8 to 10 feet out in radius. And from the upper golden ball to the series of golden balls, drop a myriad of pink, absolutely radiant, radiant pink filaments of light. And from the circle of golden balls to the lower golden ball, more of these. So you're in a wonderful canopy pointing up and a canopy pointing down. You're in a structure of pink light, radiant pink light. And inside of that canopy, with a crystal ball touching the inside edges of your canopy, just see yourself create this amazing crystal ball and tell me what colors it's going to be. Today mine has a lot of turquoise in it, plus white, plus opaque, plus pink. Oh, many colors. And inside of that, you're in your star tetrahedron, which is like a three-sided pyramid pointing upwardly and one pointing down. And then you turn one of them 60 degrees in a circle and push them together so that it's kind of like a Star of David, only it's three-dimensional. And you're in this beautiful, beautiful star tetrahedron, which is like your Merkaba as well, for those of you who know that word. Now spin and spin and spin in your star tetrahedron. Spin and spin and spin. And whilst you're spinning, I want you to look on the magic screen in front of you. And on that screen, let's place some images, some movies, of what it is you want to create within yourself or outside of yourself, in your past, in your future, in your healing, for yourself, for other people, for the world, for politics, for your toenails. Let's do one on ourselves first. I see myself being multidimensional at will, being able to move in and out of dimensions. And let's see Beth doing creative work for just a wonderful, wonderful stream of resources. And you can do your own resources too in there. And I see my sample woman with the liver situation. Her liver being absolutely emptied out, and her journey of transformation being resolved. And I'm spinning and spinning and spinning the star tetrahedron around her liver. for those of you who want to, for example, write a book, make a movie, do something really wildly creative, invent some things, I just see you spinning and spinning and creating and seeing the recompense come and the recognition for the viability of your project. I see all of that. I like to see over here the world being fed, our collective consciousness moving so that we would never think of killing one another for oil or anything else, that we would support one another. I want to throw one in about energy, that we learn enough about energy work to even go past what the medical system could provide for those of you who don't have health coverage, so it'd be scooped right into the whole health coverage, which is available for everyone. We could do a lot more, couldn't we? So add whatever you like. And then dance your way back into your spinning star tetrahedron. Give it another big spin. And here we are back again. And we have a very, I think, patient caller. Maybe not. We'll find out. You're on the air, and you can tell us if you're patient.
Well, at least I think I am. This is Susan from Missoula.
Hi, Susan from Missoula. Are you patient?
Oh, I'm working on it.
Did you spin with us in the star tetrahedron?
I was kind of there.
It's really powerful. You have a child. You could probably teach your child that.
I'm working on teaching him things
good
like
girl.
That, and he's pretty receptive.
Good.
But I was very interested in the last caller because she was bringing up money, and it's what I was thinking of too. And I've been thinking about what you were talking about, co-creating, and all that has been very up for me lately. Mm-hmm. And so what I was visualizing just now with you was lots of good money coming in for really creative work, but I feel like I have other forces pulling on me as I attempt to change my way of thinking and my attempts to create my reality. So I thought I might throw that out at you and see what you have to say about it.
Well, let's play ball here, girl.
Okay.
It's interesting because I'm watching as you talk, I'm going, you know, you're very split or you're very divided in some of your goals. Okay?
Yes.
So when we say creating or co-creating our reality, we really need to be clear about where we're headed. And you have a lot of indecisions. Like you say, you're being pulled in different directions.
Yeah.
And I want you to drop in. We're going to do again a base chakra thing. I know we did with Beth mostly a second chakra thing, but we did touch the base chakra as well. But in your base chakra, you have terrific, I'm going to ask everybody at home, wrap yourselves in light. And I want you to wrap yourself in light and go in and focus on your base chakra, your red chakra, and tell me what you perceive there. Do you feel, you know, if we were ideally bright, clear red, what do you experience there?
What do I experience?
Yeah.
I mean, I see a red, but I also, it's vague for me.
Okay.
It's a chakra that I'm not always, I have a hard time feeling it.
Oh, okay, because to me yours has a big shadow in it.
A shadow, okay. I was going to say a blank spot.
Well, terms are interesting, aren't they? And they're very metaphorical, as you know.
Yes.
And the energy part of it is that there's this kind of, I want to say it's not very crisp and it's not very bright. And I want to go into that part. And everybody at home has got some version. You might be getting lumps and rocks, or you might be getting little pictures of things in there, or you may be getting nothing. It used to be very hard for me to find my red chakra at all.
Mm.
And now I'm pretty good at it. So when I look at yours, I go, okay, Susan, let's enter yours and ask for the feeling that comes up with it, because I get a very deep attitude that runs through probably your family of origin, but certainly through you, about, okay, I won't say, I'll let you to do it.
So what attitude do I get from it?
Mm-hmm.
Fear, maybe.
Okay.
Or just a can't do it, or a powerlessness, or...
Powerlessness is making sense to me. What about worth? Do you feel a self-worth issue?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Big issues, yes.
Okay, so what I was going to say right at the very beginning, because you said fear, and that's all really good, and I wanted to narrow it down a little bit so we can actually get hold of something, okay?
Okay.
And there's an attitude in you of, it gets very vague,
yes,
and you're powerless, but underneath it, it's like, I really shouldn't, I shouldn't want it, or I shouldn't, and I can't even think straight, because when I go into it, I get very indecisive. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so when I look at it, it's like, I shouldn't want it. I really don't deserve it. Maybe somebody else should have it. Maybe I... And all of that's way down deep in you.
Yeah.
And what happens in your body when I say those things? Does anything tingle or pull or...
I'm not feeling it.
Is there any... It's okay. Is there any emotion?
Oh, I mean, I know it's all true. I'm frustrated with it because I'm aware that that's there.
Okay, and we have to get some feeling only just so we can grab something. Otherwise, we're just in our head. We don't want it to be just in our head. We do energy work. We want to feel it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going back into your base chakra, and you've got something. And to me, and I'm an empath. If you're not feeling it, I'm going to feel it a lot.
Yeah.
And I've learned to dump it really fast. But there's something in your belly, and there's something crushing on your chest about it.
Oh, I do have some chest stuff going on.
Okay. Well, I feel this, that when it comes up to your affirming or visualizing what it is you want to create your reality, way deep down it's going, I don't think so. I don't think you really should because, you know, somebody else and... Anyway, I'm not really, I don't think I'm worthy. That sort of stuff is going on at a very deep level.
Yeah.
Okay, so my recommendation is we bring that up, and everybody at home's got something like that. And not all of us have it all the time, but these are weeds we need to pull out.
Mm-hmm.
So I want that to come on up. I'm asking the red chakra, I'm asking the guides and angels to come in full bore, and we're asking for the violet fire, and we're going to run it up through your red chakra and see if we can't burn that up. But I want you to be aware of those feelings, because don't deny them. You just stuff them back in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I want those feelings to be dancing around in the violet fire. And you got a weird head right now. Can you feel that?
Sorry, what was that?
Your head feels weird.
Well, I have a bad cold.
Oh, good. Well, we'll just try and burn that out, too. Okay, so we're just going back up into the red chakra, and it's moving. That little blobby thing that looks so vague,
mm-hmm,
is starting to tighten up for me, and it's starting to get a little more. All it needs to get is a little brighter color, and it needs to get a little more of a vibrant presence. And I can feel it. I don't know if you can feel it.
I can.
Okay. And so we're pushing that violet fire, or sending the violet fire up through it. And we want to say this to me. You know you're really worthy. You know, I know you're very conscious, Susan. You get tired and you get kind of droopy like we all do.
Yeah.
Little tendency to depression. And when it goes like that, this droopiness runs things. But it's like you got to pull it up, dance with it, sound it, make sounds. Susan does healing with sound. But to bring this up, to bring it up, good. It's still moving. I don't know if you can see it, but it's moving up through the sacrum right now. Can you feel that?
Yes.
Okay. So what we're doing is sending the violet fire up through the body and having the rest of the body turn, and so that it belongs to an integrated part of you instead of being stuck in the subconscious.
Okay.
And then I want you to, when we hang up, I want you to make some sound.
Okay.
Keep the darn it thing going.
Okay.
Do you have anything else you want to say before we?
Oh, it's right on. So I thank you. It's what I thought was going on, but it's good to hear it reflected. So.
Okay, and don't let it go. Like, I want you to either write about it or dance about it, write about it and burn it, or sing and dance about it or something. Get it up there while it's still moving.
Okay.
Remember, energy always wants to go back and be safe where it was, but we're not going to let it go back. It has to morph.
Okay.
And I really appreciate your call. It was very courageous.
Thank you so much.
Email me if you feel like it. I'd like to hear what happens.
Okay, I will.
Remember, Susan, it's not done. It's still moving.
Okay. Thanks, Veronica.
Blessings.
Yeah. Bye.
Now, that was really interesting because for all of you at home, me included, you got stuff going on in your red chakra, which is your tribal stuff. This is really ancient things. But, you know, through the years working with the chakras, it's really hit me that the red chakra, and red is actually a color of creation, isn't it? The red chakra is really, really creative. Of course, all the chakras are. But we think of it as just like tribal, or at least that's what I was always taught. But I watch it, and I'm watching it in Susan. It was becoming brighter and brighter, and there was a light around the edge of it. And with Beth, a lot of the light that was moving with her beliefs was in the belly area. But in Susan's, it was in the red chakra. That's why you pay attention to where the energy pops up when you call up the exercise. And you'll find how you personally hold it, because you're not like me, and I'm not like you, except in a few ways, you know, fingers and toes. All right. So I'm really enjoying your calls. Call in. It's very exciting. Let's see now. There's a whole lot of things. I'm just trying to see here what would be the best. One of the things about her energy was that she was talking about deep in the red chakra, there was this, all this conversation about, I shouldn't really want it, or I'm not worth it, and really other people should be having it. That's sort of interesting, because I think a lot of us have that. And that one is, I didn't tell Susan this at the time, but maybe you're still listening, but that one is a remnant of being a very self-denying spiritual being. I think it was a nun, although it's kind of a strange outfit that you have on. It's a self-sacrificing spiritual order, if you understand what I mean. So that's the kind of stuff that's left in our consciousness from gosh knows when. And one of the things I was writing about before the show was that we can also talk about, for example, the energy of self-aggrandizement. And that's sort of interesting, too, because we have these kinds of humblenesses or self-sacrifices and so on. But there's a self-aggrandizing thing as well. And let's all do a little bit of that energetically and see what happens in the body. I am the most important. Wrap yourself in light. I don't want to get your self-aggrandizing. I have enough of my own to do. First of all, we have to find the art of coming into the truth of ourselves, and to be empowered by being in the truth of ourselves and following our journey. And the self-aggrandizement is very often a kind of an overcorrection, isn't it? I got to really pump myself, so here I come, and I'm the best one, and so on. Well, you're probably the best one in the whole universe about being you, we hope anyway. But you don't need to self-aggrandize for it. So let's call that up in our body and see what happens. You have to do it too, Bob. Bob's my silent, sound, wonderful person over here. Bring up the self-aggrandizement. Oh, I'm really important. I have to be very, and not only that, I have to be better than everyone to make the money. I have to be the best one, and I have to believe in myself as the best one to make the money. I didn't want to talk about money the whole show, but it does seem to be that self-aggrandizement, self-worth, and so on does go with your resources and your money and what you attract. So I want you to feel where that is in your body. I want you to feel the self-aggrandizement. Now just stay with that for a minute. I'm really important and I have to be the best one in order to make the money. And you know, I can see several people out there. Somebody's got a headache from this almost immediately. And I want you to drop into, somebody else has got a very sore chest, like grief that comes up. So let's drop into the self-aggrandizement. What's behind it? It's a huge fear, isn't it? And now the fear is going to describe itself differently in a whole bunch of people. It's like, and some people, the self-aggrandizement is a defensive prop, isn't it? And some people, the self-aggrandizement is, if I don't do it that way, I'll slip into this abyss and there's nothing for me. There will be no place for me. There'll be no recognition for me, and that's really sad. So you can feel kind of sickly. So what's happening to you? So let's exaggerate it, and I want you to look underneath it and really feel. You look with your feelings, don't you? Look underneath the self-aggrandizing and really check out what kind of feelings are hanging around underneath it. What are the fears? Yeah. And now let's ask for help as we command total release of those now. Or you can imagine pulling them out and putting them into a fire, say a violet flame fire. But pull them out. Pull them out. Because it's very interesting for the self-aggrandizement business, you find that when you go in and find all these fears and defenses and so on, then you realize that your self-aggrandizement doesn't really become that. It just becomes more your selfness. We've got to have the selfness to co-create our reality, don't we? And it's because it takes that pressure off. When we've got all these defenses and so on, it really drives our attitude forward and it becomes really volatile and really strong. And when you undo the fears behind it, it starts settling down and you just become yourself. So let's see, what's another thing? Okay, so the thing about the self-aggrandizement, when I was jotting these little notes, I realized also we wanted to do an energy clearing about competition. Because I know in this country or this culture, there's a whole thing about being competitive. That's kind of the zest of the marketplace, isn't it? And a lot of us are trying to move out of that, but we certainly have had that instilled in us in a major way, have we not? So I want you to wrap yourselves in light and let's work with the competitive thing. So wrap yourself in light. Good. And I want you to call up all the energy of competition. And if you're having trouble doing that, just picture a guy or a woman who's got more resources, a better job, someone that you... Very often, competition comes up more severely when there's a deep, hidden, subconscious thing, some sort of karmic thing as well. So I want you to really feel the competition you feel. Oh, okay. And when something comes up and you're locked in, or you don't even know you're competitive, something comes up and you feel like a tension, your gut shifts and it becomes really tight, and then you start knowing that you have to have this or you have to have that, and there's a drive in you. I don't want you to just experience what that feels like right now. I have to be the one who tells her or him. I have to be the one who gets there and gets that organized and gets that on so-and-so's desk. I have to be the one who blah, blah, whatever it is. Just drop into that. I have to. Drop into it. Now, I wouldn't tell Michael Phelps to do this at the last minute when he was swimming for the Olympics. This is just something on a daily basis that we do. You can even practice this when you're driving and somebody's trying to pass you or somebody cuts you off or whatever. You can get into a real competitive thing on the wheel, can't you? So as you exaggerate that, I have to exaggerate it and then drop it just and see what happens. You can really take some of those deep subconscious drives. And I would ask myself, really, to go into a deeper place when you're feeling that tension and that you have to get somewhere first or get past this person or something. Go in and ask yourself what it really feels like at a very deep level. And the first thing I come up with is that I'm never really going to get anywhere. Or there's some really self-denigrating loss kind of feeling. I haven't got time to explain the imagery that came up for me, but it's really funny. Just like I'm kind of crawling up and trying to make it somehow. And then when you feel that, call that up and feel it. Give yourself a hand up out of the pit of self-pity or self-denigration that you were in and ask your angels to help as you command total release. So tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, we're moving into a time in society where there's going to be enough for everyone. Or anyway, this is a pretty good possibility of what's coming up over the next, 10, 15, 20 years, that there is going to be that reality where we can all have. And if I become who I really am, there's no competition for that. If you become who you really are, there's no competition for that. And if we didn't really compete for this small award or pile of money or whatever, jeepers, what kind of a world would it be? It'd be a whole different world, and we would have evolved our species, which is what we're all here for. And that's why we're wanting to release a lot of these old energies. I just want to say this, that releasing energies like that can be a really fast route to physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual healing. And the guides are sure helping us do it. Now, my next show is called Paradigm Shifters. It's on at 5 o'clock today. And our Paradigm Shifter is an energy mover as well. His name is Dr. Wayne Topping, T-O-P-P-I-N-G. And he runs an institute here in Bellingham, Washington. It's the Topping International Institute for Kinesiology. And he's pretty amazing because, as a lot of you know, kinesiology is the art of working with strengthening and weakening muscles according to how energies are blocked and the flows don't go. And there's so much about aging and energy or deterioration of physical capacities and moving energy. And he's fascinating. He's got a lot. He reminds me of Donna Eden in some ways. He has a lot of simplistic techniques. They're simplistic in activity, but they're not simplistic in meaning and impact, on how to shift blocks of energy in your body with simple, there's simple ways of, like, palpating your own body, of putting your fingers on your forehead in that bumpy part that's just above the eyebrows, and holding the tips of your fingers there for a certain period of time until the blood rushes back into your head and you're energized after being weakened, or ways to massage muscles just below the rib cage in order to reinstate an energy flow in your quadriceps and your legs. So as you get older, you don't really have to lose and weaken. Also, these people are teaching us that in cases of dementia or ADD or ADHD, in cases of brain function or dysfunction, things being out of balance and out of harmony, there are all these little tapping techniques that can be used for very little kids and older people as well, and those of us who are in the middle. I guess I'm at the older end, but I consider myself pretty young yet, so don't get too excited. And he's got a really interesting presentation talking about it. He was actually a volcano. He was a geologist and studied volcanoes, and we were likening a lot of our human energy systems to the Earth's energy systems and how they relate to volcanoes and how we relate to health disruptions and so on. A pretty interesting man. And now next week, and so stay tuned if you can, or get this one on the archives, or come on up to Bellingham because he's going to do a three-day workshop at the end of October. And next week, my paradigm shifter is also from Bellingham, but she wasn't always. When I was on at KNRY, she was there as well. Her name is Carolyn Sutherland, and she's, I think her book was called The Body Doesn't Lie, and now she has a new book, and I wrote the title down and did not bring it over here to the radio, but in any case, she has a new book on eating properly and aging, so she's really into nutrition and keeping yourself young and reinstating good brain capacity in children and helping them get over psychological problems by nutrition. She's got a lot of very interesting things and a lot of recognition. Her name is Carolyn Sutherland. And indeed, she's going to be doing medical intuitive workshop training on, I believe it's part of Wayne Topping's workshop up here in Bellingham over 3 days near the end of October. But I'm not sure if hers is before his or if they're collaborating. And she's worked with people in losing weight and so on for many, many thousands and thousands of people. I think she says over 100,000 people, helping them lose weight and so on, but mostly through understanding their own dietary allergies and their systemic difficulties and so on, and why they would have trouble with foods. So it's going to be interesting. This week and next week, we got Bellingham specialists on how to change your energy with tapping, with energy motion, with kinesiology, and then next week with foods. So also, I'm going to be on Thursday night with Jackie Salvitti. We're doing a new thing now where I'm interviewing Jackie, and I'm interviewing Jackie's team, and asking some different questions just to take a different approach to the program. So I'd love your point of view, your feedback, and your suggestions for that show Thursday night at 8 o'clock here on BBS Radio. And I loved talking to you. Dr. Topping will be on at 5 o'clock today, so I'll let you go and send you many, many blessings. And remember, as we learn to shift our energy like we were doing some of today, as we learn to shift that, we really empower ourselves. And as we feel that power and we take charge over what's been really hidden in the subconscious, boy, we send messages of shift, change, and advancement out into the collective. And it's a real win-win for all of us. So I send you much love, and thank you so much for listening to the show, and thank you for calling in. And email me, Veronica, at veronicaentwistle.com if you'd like a session, or if you have suggestions or comments on the shows, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com, no H in Entwistle. See you next week.